book of Luke, chapter number 22. I want to preach on this thought very quickly, a communion to cherish. We want to begin reading in verse number 14 tonight, Luke 22 and verse number 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. That is the reading of the book of Luke, chapter 22, verses 14 through 20, if correctly read. Let's pray. We know that Leonardo da Vinci painted the Lord's Supper, that beautiful painting, many, many years ago. Took him a number of years to complete the painting. He actually went and found individuals who would model for each and every part. And the very first one that he chose was someone to portray the Lord Jesus. And Da Vinci painted him and went on one by one. It took him 7 years to find somebody to play Judas Iscariot. And this man was found in the prison cell. And Da Vinci came down, and day after day he would labor painting the picture of this man who would portray Judas. And it seemed like as the hours went on that the man's face became more terrified and horrified looking, until finally he said to Da Vinci, he said, sir, do you not know who I am? And Da Vinci replied, he said, no, sir, I have no idea. He said, sir, have I sunk that low? He said, what do you mean? He said, it was me that 7 years ago filled in the place to portray the Lord Jesus, and you painted me. And here I am in a prison cell. The darkness of prison and the depravity of sin has caused me now to portray Judas. Isn't it something, friend, that just in a little while, you and I could, we could be looking like Jesus, and in just a little while, because of sin, start living like Judas. And I want to say to you tonight, friend, make sure that your life is on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ at all times. Amen. Because the devil would love to do nothing more than to tear you down. As we start tonight in the message, I want us to see, first of all, the passion of the Lord's Supper. Again in verse 15, Jesus' words. He says, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. The Lord Jesus Christ had a desire. It was a passion that he would fulfill the Passover with his disciples. Now, preacher, what is the Passover? I'm glad you asked. You remember there in the Old Testament when the Lord laid upon Moses and told him and said, I want you to go out and I want you to take and put blood upon the doorpost and blood upon the lintel. It would be the blood of a lamb. And when the death angel passes through that night, when God comes looking to take the firstborn out of every home, he says, if I see the blood upon the doorpost and a little of that house, I will pass over you. Well, I'm glad to say, thank God, many in that land of Egypt in that day took the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorpost and upon the lintel. And the night the death angel came by, they were spared by the good grace and the good mercy of Almighty God. Every little lamb that had its blood shed was all pointing to Calvary's Lamb, the Lamb of God, which would take away the sins of the world. It was some weeks ago the Lord was dealing with me as we'd gone out to a shop for Christmas, and I was thinking about those little lambs and how that everyone was just ultimately buying time until the Lamb of God would come. You remember that story? And I begin to think about how when we go and we buy things on credit card, all we're really doing is buying time. I got a receipt with my credit card, and it said paid, and that I had purchased it. But truthfully, it wasn't paid until about 30 days later I got the bill. Then I had to pay. You see, all we was doing with that credit card was a buying time. You see, all them little lambs, all they were doing when their blood was shed was buying time until the one would come and make the payment. That was the Lamb of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he's come now at this Passover meal, and he sits down with his disciples in the upper room. And you know what he says to them as he's getting ready to suffer, as he's getting ready to give his life for their sin and for my sin and for your sin? He said, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover, to eat this supper with you. It was the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ that came into that upper room, and that came to this sin-cursed earth, that was born of a virgin, that you and I might be saved. I want to say the Lord Jesus had a supper in mind. Hey, that you and I tonight, we could keep this supper and commemorate the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus came with a passion. Jesus came with desire. And I want to tell you what tonight, my desire is that I might commune with him as we partake of this supper tonight, amen, that I might have fellowship with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. As he strolls through these pews tonight and up and down these aisleways, he says, it is my desire to eat this Passover with you. It is my desire to take this Lord's Supper with you. I say tonight, it is my desire that I might have fellowship with the Son of God. I thank you for that tonight. I want to turn now over to the book of 1 Corinthians, and I want to read out of verse number 11, in our chapter number 11, and we'll begin reading in verse number 16 in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and in verse number 16. The Lord's Supper was an ordinance of the church. It was instituted by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's just two ordinances. That is baptism and the Lord's Supper. And you and I should observe each one. It should be our earnest desire to obey our Lord's commands. And friend, tonight I pray as we enter into this time that we could comprehend and understand the very meaning of this time. It was passed down, Apostle Paul, every church, he laid the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. They would have a Lord's Supper. And as they would meet, a lot of times they would have a love fest, fellowship meal, before they gathered for the Lord's Supper. And a lot of times, just like people gather in the fellowship hall, they'd have a set time to have this time of fellowship. And this fellowship, this love feast that they have, it's there to promote unity. It's there to promote love and joy and fellowship within the congregation, within the church body. We had a church dinner this afternoon. Went pretty well as far as I'm concerned. If you went away hungry, it's your own fault. Everybody seemed to get along real well. We had a good time. But it wasn't that way in the church in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 in verse 16. He begins to write, but if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. And I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, every one taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. You see, first of all, the Lord Jesus Christ had a passion about this Lord's Supper. But by the time we get to the church at 1 Corinthians, there was a perversion in the Lord's Supper. This church was filled with divisions, filled with strife, behavior of the flesh, rather than the Christian attitude that we ought to have. In fact, if you look in verse 20, he says that for in eating, verse 21, for in eating everyone taketh before other his own supper. They'd say we're going to have a love feast, a fellowship meal. We're going to eat it, say, 2 o'clock. But there'd be some that'd come in about 1 o'clock. And they'd go ahead and get all their vittles together, and maybe a few in their little clique, their little group. And they'd invite them in, and they'd have their time fellowship. Hey, when everybody else come in, they'd look down on them. I want y'all to look. Here comes Sister So-and-so. Can you believe she's wearing that to church? And look what she brought. Boy, I tell you, she ought to look what I brought compared to what she brought. Look at the icing on her cake and look at the icing on my cake. And you see there begin to be gossip and slander and divisions and strife in the fellowship hall. She don't clean the way I clean. She don't vacuum the way I vacuum. And they wouldn't want to share their meals together. They wouldn't want to put everything on one table and everybody eat. They wanted to group up. And Paul said, I hear there's divisions among you. And he said, I partly believe it. You know why? He knew that church. He helped lay the foundation, which is Christ. He had been around them. He had heard some of their talk. He had experienced some of their women back fussing and fighting and trying to get this group to talk about that group. Say amen or say oh me. Amen. And this was what was going on in the church at Corinth, for it was a church that was filled with carnality. He says not only is there divisions and strife, but verse 19 says there's heresies among you. I mean, there's false doctrines, oh yes. But it also means cliques. One clique trying to root out another clique to reign supreme. I tell you what, it's amazing. I don't know what power you think you're going to get in the fellowship hall. Are you going to be the holder of the key? Oh boy, you'll be feared by everybody. I hold the key of the fellowship hall. I'm the one in charge of the decorations, and I'm the one in charge. Let me tell you something, amen. We together have no big eyes and no little U's. If you think I'm going to come to take over the fellowship hall at Bethel, you found the wrong church, honey. Amen. We are going to work together. We are going to get along. And if we don't, the Holy Ghost is going to go tell the Father, and the Father is going to wear somebody out with discipline and chastisement. And I promise you, it will happen. Preacher, how do you know? It happened to the church at Corinth, and it happens to churches even today where people just don't want to get along. Now, let me tell you something. Here they were out there jockeying for position, for power and preeminence to be the holder of the fellowship hall key. Nobody's getting in. Nobody. I won't allow it. I'm not giving any bread. I'm not going to give any ham. I'm not giving any turkey to nobody because I'm in charge of it. And then they thought they'd come back in at 6 o'clock for the worship service and to commune at the Lord's Supper and hear the good songs of Zion and sit around and act religious and partake of the Lord's Supper when they wouldn't share in the fellowship hall. When they gossiped in the fellowship hall, Paul said, that's a bunch of heresy. You're a false doctrine. What you've come is you've come in here with your sanctimonious chin lifted up, strutting like a peacock, like you're God's blessing to everybody in the church. And I'm going to tell you something, amen. You'll never be able to really have fellowship and worship Jesus Christ being puffed up and filled up with pride. Say, preacher, why in the world would you preach a hard message to us on Christmas communion? Why in the world? Because you need to be warned. You need to be warned, amen. If it was going on in the church at Corinth, it's liable to be going on in the church at Bethel. And to be honest with you, I hear there's divisions amongst us, and you know what? I partly believe it. Yep, man. People stingy. They're greedy. Look at verse 22. He says, have you not houses to eat and to drink in? What he's saying is if you're going to be stingy and greedy and try to hoard everything for yourself, you can do that at the house. You'd have been better off to stay at home. If you're going to act like the fellowship belongs to you, stay at your house. What does belong to you? Preacher, you're getting ready to make me mad. I think I will stay at the house. There's a lot of other places you could go. Don't upset me. We want love here. That's right. We're not going to have a takeover, amen. He says, despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? Shall I praise you? Boy, you've done such a wonderful job not sharing with anybody. There's no praise in that. Amen? The Bible says, I praise you not. You know, I tell you what. When there's a good stinker going, you'll find a lot of buzzards flying around. To behave like that is disrespectful. And I want to tell you what, friend, it's disgraceful. And it's not the behavior that a proper Christian ought to have. You know good and well, while you're over there, you had something in your heart just a pump and saying, ooh, I'm about to blow a gasket. If they do one, well, that's the wrong place, amen, for us to be feeling that away one towards another. And then try to come in the church on the same day, in the same afternoon, and partake of the Lord's Supper and share together with it. When you're acting like that, you ought to get right with God. Listen, I don't know anything. I've not heard any talk about emotions today. I have no idea what went right or what went wrong. I just know I'm happy, amen. And I get to thinking about some of these little youngins. You get one of these little youngins, and you put them on the pulpit. They don't care about who washed what and who vacuumed what and who wiped what. They don't care. Hey, man, they're not here for you to please them or them to please you. They're just here to live their life before God Almighty. Hey, amen. That's all they want, amen. And so what had happened in the church at Corinth, what it had become a perversion of the Lord's Supper. Thirdly, I want us to see the purpose of the Lord's Supper. Paul says, I have received, verse 23, of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. You see, Apostle Paul had been given a revelation by the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, of how the Lord's Supper should be conducted in the church. Just like anything, there's a right way, there's a wrong way. I want to do it the right way. I want to do it the way Jesus says it needs to be done. First of all, he says that he took bread. And when he gave thanks, he broke it. And he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now that bread represents Jesus' body. He is the bread of life. He is that living bread. Amen. Glory to God, he is that heavenly manna. Amen. And we know that that bread is broken, which represents his body. Now understand that our Lord and Savior didn't have a bone broken. Not a bone of him was broken, but his body was lacerated. It was scourged. Amen. It was broken that you and I might be saved and wouldn't have to be broken in hell forever and ever and ever. I thought about this breaking of the bread. Some people say, well, I think that verse 22 up there meant that there ought not to be a fellowship hall in the church. That's why we got houses. There shouldn't be a fellowship hall in the church. Honey, have you ever read the Bible? When we get to heaven, there's going to be a table there. I guess you'll get over in the corner and say, I don't believe in it. Huh? There's going to be a table there. And the Lord himself is going to serve us. What he's saying is, it's not wrong to have a fellowship hall. What is wrong is to have an improper attitude in the fellowship hall. Amen? And the Lord says, when I take this bread, it represents my body. And I'm sharing it with each one of you. My body was broken for you. Hey, you remember over there in the book of Luke, at the end of the book, in chapter number 24, there was two on the Emmaus Road, and the Lord had resurrected and came to them, and they didn't know exactly who he was. And the Bible says in Luke 24 and in verse 28, they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were open. Woo! Their eyes were open when he broke bread, when he gave thanks, when he blessed it, amen. Their eyes were open in the breaking of the bread. And understand, some people says, preacher, I think you ought not to have the Lord's Supper on the evening service. You ought to have it in the morning service when everybody's here. Ha! Let me tell you something, amen. We ought to have it. They had it in the evening time. It was towards evening time. I'm not going to say there's a right time or wrong time to have it, amen. But I'm going to tell you this, amen. I like it when those that really want to be here are here. The Lord came to them. And look what happens. Their eyes were open, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. They said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? There's just something about breaking bread with Jesus to have our eyes open and know more of him. Hallelujah. I see him in the breaking of the bread, but also in the cup. Look back with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. We know that that cup, it represents the Lord Jesus Christ's blood. Now I want to be very careful here, and I want to be very clear. The bread is unleavened bread. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Leaven represents sin. Jesus was sinless, and the bread is unleavened bread. When we come to the cup, it is not fermented wine. Fermented wine has leaven in it. Jesus' blood was sinless blood. It must be unleavened, unfermented grape juice. Mr. Thomas Welch, back in the late 1800s, was around churches that was doing it the wrong way. And his family set out to make grape juice, unfermented, that might be made to bring to the house of God, that we might partake of the Lord's Supper and do it the right way. God bless Mr. Welch, and God gave him a flourishing business because his heart was right when he set out, amen? And I want to say thank God for that. And so this blood, this cup, represents the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you're not taking it afresh or taking it anew. What it says is it represents that you have already received the washing of the blood for the salvation of your soul. And you've already put your faith in the broken one, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. There's three points here we probably need to make. First of all, there is a commemoration. He says, this do ye in remembrance of me. We need to remember his death. We need to remember his crucifixion. We need to remember his sacrifice and his suffering. We need to remember what he's done for us. And tonight, I pray that you would take wise counsel and say, thank you, Lord, for the stripes, for the scourging, for all the pain, the agony, the misery, and the shame, the spitting and the slapping, and spiteful treatment that you endured just for me. This do ye in remembrance of me. Amen. He says in verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. So there's a commemoration. We are remembering his death. But then there's a communion. He says, as oft as you drink it. You know, a commemoration's remembering back what he's done. But a communion is present fellowship. Why, he's with us tonight. And I desire to partake with him. Hallelujah. Not only is there this communion because he wants to be with us, but if he was still dead, he couldn't be with us presently. His communion tells us there was a resurrection. He arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. We do show his death, but we also show his resurrection. He's alive and well. Hallelujah. Not only is there a commemoration and a communion, but there's a commitment. He's made us a promise. It is a promise of return. He said, till he come. He told us, he said, I'm not going to drink of this cup anymore until I drink it new with you in the kingdom of heaven. Woo! Whoa, hallelujah. One day, amen, when we're all gathered together, we're going to have the Lord's Supper one more time with him. And he'll be the one there to serve us. Boy, I like that, don't you? So we see the passion of the Lord's Supper, the perversion of the Lord's Supper, and the purpose of the Lord's Supper. Fourthly, I want us to see the preparation of the Lord's Supper. There were some ladies that went tonight to prepare this meal. Over in the the New Testament there with the disciples, there were some that went and prepared the table and got everything ready. Hey, there's some preparations you and I need to make. Well, preacher, the table's already ready. Yeah, but you need to ready you. Oh, I've already readied me. I'm saved. Thank God for that. But how's your walk with Him today? I mean, you better not partake of this unworthily. There must be a preparation of the Lord's Supper. Look with me in verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. To partake of it unworthily means, first of all, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, do not dare partake of this cup or of this bread. Just let it pass by you. Yeah, but people will think funny about me. First of all, I will advise everybody in this church, don't you look around at everybody else. You consider you. Get your eye off everybody else. I'll tell our deacons tonight, and I'll tell them every time, when you pass the bread and the cup, don't you look down the road to see who got it and who didn't. You just go ahead, you hand it, and you just keep looking around somewhere else. Amen? Because this tonight is an examination that you need to take for yourself. If you're not saved, you're unworthy. Judas was unsaved. He partook that night. He had his hand in the sop with the Savior. What happened to him? Damnation, judgment came upon him immediately because of partaking of that cup unworthily. I would also say tonight, if you're here and you've backslid your life, you're not right with your fellow man, you're not right with God. There's things going on in your life that nobody else knows about, things that you don't want nobody else to know, but He knows. He desires to partake and commune with you tonight when you're clean. We use clean vessels. God uses clean vessels. Look in verse 28. He says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. To examine yourself means to put yourself on trial. You may look at, well, preacher, I know I'm unworthy. Well, how do you get worthy? You confess your sin. He said, if I would confess my sin, if we would confess our sin, that He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when He forgives us, praise God, we can have a time of communion with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says in verse 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Now, if you're here tonight and you're saved, and you want to partake of this, but your life's not right with God and not right with your fellow man, but you're not going to get right about it tonight because you feel like that you're doing very well to carry this grudge that you've got. If you partake of this, you're partaking unworthily. And it will not be a loss of your salvation, but it will be a time of discipline, of chastisement that you have signed up for, being warned of God, get right with me before you partake. And your pride says, oh, I'll get away with it. God says in the Word, many are weak and sickly amongst you. I heard a preacher say one time, said, I'm going to go up and see so-and-so in the hospital. They said, they're doing bad. They said, no, they're having their tithe removed. If you're not giving like you ought to be giving, it's sinning against God, holding out against God. Hey, you may be having your grudge removed in the hospital. I'd hate to get a phone call in a little while and say, Brother Darren, I tell you, I partook of that thing unworthily, and I don't know what's happened. My heart started beating out of my chest. I can't get my breath now. Listen. You better make sure. This is not a game. It's not a fairy tale. This is real. Amen? And he said, many sleep. It's not a loss of your salvation, but God's turned some over and signed their death warrant. They seen God a lot sooner than they had planned on it because they've lifted up with pride. I've seen Ananias and Sapphira lie to the Holy Ghost. Amen? And you better be careful tonight as you partake of this that you're not lying to the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. Fifthly, and we're done, we see the participation of the Lord's Supper in verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. If you would judge yourself, you'll not be judged. Preacher, what does that mean? That means you better examine yourself. Put your life on trial. And tonight, if you find any fault, any failure, any shortcoming, my preacher said, it's a three-letter word, S-I-N. And if it needs to be confessed to God, you better bring it to Him. Be the best thing you've ever done. And he says, if you judge yourself, you would not be judged. Did you hear those two on the Emmaus Road? Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and opened unto us the Scripture? Well, I tell you what, it is a simple fact that the Lord Jesus Christ came to them in that hour. And it's also a fellowship when he came and was with them. What an experience to fellowship with Christ. And last of all, don't you know, that heart burning means there's a fullness of joy. There's just something about it being right with God that brings fullness of joy. The Lord tonight, when you partake of this table, wants you to have it judging yourself, yes, and getting right with Him, but He wants to fellowship with you. His desire tonight is for you to have joy in your relationship with Him. Amen? I want to ask you to stand to your feet. Nobody looking. But I wonder, is there somebody tonight say, Preacher Darren, I want somebody to come to the piano and play. Preacher Darren, I want to come to the Lord's altar and wash for supper. I've handled some things that ain't right. I've listened to some things that ain't right. I've said some things that ain't right. I've thought on some things that ain't right. And I'm going to wash before supper. I'm going to ask Jesus to forgive me of my behavior and confessing to Him my sin, believing He'd wash me tonight. He'll do that if you'd come.